Life Audio.
Hey, welcome to the Happy Ramp Podcast. I am Ted Kluck, joined as always in studio by my good friends, my partners in radio, Barnabas Piper and Ronald J. Martin. Boys, we have a lot to discuss here on week two of our partnership with Salem Media. Exciting. Coming to you live from the Salem studios. I want to talk a little Oscars, boys. The Oscars were in the news. People cared about the Oscars for the first time in a long time.
Did they, though? Do you even know who won any of the awards, or is that not really what we're talking about?
I actually want to talk about that, dude, because I was thinking about this. It's been like 15 years since I've cared about the Oscars. But for like a decade between, let's say, age 20 and age 29 or 30, like I really cared. I used to like throw a party and like people would come over and we cared, but then we just sort of immediately stopped caring. And I don't know why this is. I want to talk about that. Like, to me, the Oscars are like human Twitter. It's like 3 hours of people virtue signaling and trying to be funny and failing and being in love with their own image. Like, I can't imagine watching it. But for a decade, I really watched it and I really cared. So do you guys watch the Oscars? Baby, let's start with you.
So I'm like UT. We used to throw the party. It was like something super fun at the end of January. It was almost like the holidays are over. Everything's grim, but we get to look forward to a party in 4 weeks. And, you know, so you have Oscars, you had kind of a Super Bowl party kind of a thing. So those are like the two highlights to kind of get you out of the black hole of the beginning of the year. That's how I looked at it. And so the Oscars was always fun. I've always been a guy. I've only probably ever seen a couple of the movies that are up for Best Picture. So that wasn't really what it was about for me. I just, you know, it was about just kind of seeing all the stars, being able to laugh at some of the things that happened, and just really a night to get everybody together in the living room to eat some bad food and hang out. So that's really what it was about for me. And at some point, I don't know what it was. Maybe it was like years ago when I stopped. Like, I went to all streaming services and I don't have cable anymore, so I can't even get it. Like, that probably had something to do with it. But yeah, I did a total fade out of it, but it was really, I think more than anything, it was just, I totally lost 100% interest in it. I just didn't care anymore.
yeah, for sure. And it's so strange that, like, in a certain kind of age bullseye, we care. Or we think we care, or we think the world cares.
Is it the age bullseye of when you have the freedom to make your own decisions and enough income to actually go to the movies? And so you actually see the movies? Because for me, the cutoff of when I stopped paying any attention was when I stopped being able to go to movies because life filled up with things like, you know, children and stuff.
Right. Yeah. No, that's a good point. Yeah. Like, if you spend every evening, you know, at the ballpark for your kids' games or at the pool for you or whatever the case may be, you're just pulled in a lot of different directions and caring about who gets the Oscar for best supporting actor becomes like much less of a big deal. I also think, like, you know, we're all men of a certain age. And when we were younger, I think just like movie stars were a bigger deal. You know what I mean? There were more movie stars. People kind of acted like movie stars, and it was fun to see them once a year. But I don't really know if there are movie stars anymore, or at least ones that we care about. And that's kind of where I want to start with my first question. We're gonna go kind of in a different direction with this slapping issue. But before we get into it, Will Smith, movie star. Like, is he on your Mount Rushmore of people who are actually movie stars or no? Pipe. Where are you at on him as a movie star?
Well, he's an interesting one because he's absolutely, you know, one of the A-list movie stars, recognizable face, billable, bankable. But he also hasn't done like an absolute blockbuster in a while. Granted, the only blockbusters that have been put out in recent years are Star Wars and Marvel movies. So that might be working against him.
So has he ever made any Marvel money? Like, have they folded him into the, like, money-making stew there at Marvel? No. Interesting.
No, he's not in that world. So I think absolutely he's a movie star, but like he's not in any of the movies that are sort of like this is the blockbuster, because those are Marvel, those are Star Wars. I guess like Quentin Tarantino every few years puts out a movie that still kind of fits that bill. And Will Smith hasn't done that. That's sort of a Jamie Foxx special.
Yeah.
That kind of thing. So he's an interesting one, because he's not a has-been, but he's also not kind of redefining Hollywood or like keeping his face in front of everybody like, you know, like Tom Cruise did through the 90s and early 2000s and stuff like that.
Yeah. He hasn't found a franchise like Cruise did with Mission. And I think, you know, look, I mean, the cliche they make about women actors getting into their 40s and not being able to find roles, especially if they were really great actors, you know, actresses coming out of their 20s and 30s. I mean, in a sense, when dudes get up into their 50s, the limitation of roles for them that are going to get them attention and make a lot of box office dollars are, you know, they start decreasing. And I think for a guy like that's happened to Smith for sure. I mean, unless he makes the movies that literally he made and won the Academy Award for, like King Richard, where it's this big dramatic performance, it's heartfelt, it's a tearjerk performance. And but again, I don't know what that movie probably didn't make a lot of money at the box office. It probably just it was more of an acclaimed, you know,
dude, he's kind of whittled out tearjerk. Like tearjerk is sort of his lane. Which is interesting.
That in sort of the funny, you know, Bad Boys, you know, I mean, again, nobody's really making movies like that anymore anyway.
And he's done a few like sci-fi action flicks, you know, where he's, you know, I Am Legend was kind of that, and a couple where he's like living on some deserted planet as like a spaceman and whatever. And that's the thing about him is like, there's not, oh, Will Smith does this. You know, like Tom Cruise became action hero. You know,
yeah, it's true.
He did a bunch of stuff that was pretty remarkable early in his career. And then it was like, Tom Cruise does stunts. That's what he does. I think Will Smith's real problem is that it's a little bit like, so for the sports fans in the room, he's a player who would have been a star in a certain era of basketball. And then the game changed. he's a low post center when you could just feed the ball in. And you know, so like Shaquille O'Neal from the 90s, and now it's like, well, that's not how the game works anymore. And so he's still a star, but he doesn't quite fit the same way. And
because
there are no more standalone summer blockbusters, which was his bread and butter.
That's kind of what I was going to say, Pipe. Like, I don't know how to, it's not the right way to say it, but it's all I got. Like, when I think of guys like Will Smith, I think he feels very like dated to me. Like that whole Will Smith thing that Will Smith does, it feels very 30 years ago. And it's almost like he can't not do that. You know, like he can't stop getting jiggy with it. Right. So like, I look at him and I go, you're kind of like an 80s action star. I mean, even Tom Cruise in some ways, like the way he pivoted, it's like, I still think of him as being like this, like frat boy that I really never had much interest in from the 80s. That's still kind of playing off that a little bit, even though I like him, even though I watch his movies. But like, it's like, has Will Smith been able to pivot from that Fresh Prince of Bel-Air like kind of vibe that he has? I actually don't think he has. I think he has to make really crazy dramatic movies like King Richard or Pursuit of Happiness for him to actually get out of that. Because anything else to me, I just look at him and I go, oh, you're doing that Fresh Prince thing.
Yeah, they're kind of doing like karaoke of themselves.
It's like a parody.
He's
like a super parody of himself kind of an actor.
An SNL skit of all of his previous movies.
That's true.
But the thing is, when he does those dramatic roles, he's good. Like, The Pursuit of Happiness was a really good movie. I didn't see King Richard, but when I saw the trailer for it, I was like, this looks like it would be exceptional. And
I watched King Richard literally, I think, on Sunday before the Oscars, and it was great. It was really great. He's awesome in it. Definitely deserves the award. Super great. I mean, just completely like owned the role. He kind of played it was kind of like, for you, Big T, it was kind of like, you remember the one time Tom Cruise ever played a down on his luck guy in a movie? Like,
yeah,
you
love
know, yeah, I know the one time he did it was great, right? He just never wanted to do it ever again. But Will Smith, whenever he plays a down on his luck guy, I think he just owns it. He does great.
Dude, Will Smith, not a movie star to me. I'm not going to see a picture because he's in it. That's my hot take. Boys, let's take a break. We'll come back and we'll get the first question.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-497-4410. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-497-4410. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-497-4410.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
All right, fellas, here it is. If you've been living under a rock for the last 2 weeks, Will Smith slapped somebody at the Oscars. It was a big deal. We all probably saw it at work the next day. Here's the question. We're going to do two rounds of this.
Can I just pause real quick?
Yeah.
This is the most Ted just gave away that he's not on social media ever.
I know. He said somebody.
You saw it at work the next day. I was like, nope. I saw it within 67 seconds on Twitter. Like it was.
Well, okay, said, so let's, and you yeah, said let's, slap somebody, Big T.
Yeah. I know who he slapped. He slapped Chris Rock. Let's actually do a minute on that, about how people find out about things, right? So you guys found out about it 64 seconds after it happened. And What was your response to it? You know what I mean? Like, okay, so let me frame the question in a different way. This is a cultural event that seems to me like it would immediately make the Make It About Me Hall of Fame. Like, who was the first person kind of in our tribe to make it about them? And did you guys make it about yourselves at all? You know what I'm asking? Like, a thing happens.
Oh, like, yes.
You know, everybody runs the Twitter makes it about them.
The sort of pearl-clutching hot take about how this is or is not the right response. You can make it about gender. You can make it about race.
Sure.
But what you're really doing is making it about your take on those things. Is that kind of what you're getting at?
Yeah, exactly. So if you're the right kind of sort of light, casual, progressive, like how do you run to Twitter and make it about yourself immediately? And who is the first to do that?
Oh, nauseatingly is the answer. You do it nauseatingly. That's
sure. That's a great adjective, Pipe.
And also so excessively that it just like it makes people like me get off Twitter for a few hours or days. The takes on it were astounding.
Give me just a sampling.
And we knew they were going to be astounding.
Yeah.
As soon as it happened.
Surprising thing of all time.
Immediate. So the ones that and I'm so at risk of just getting myself in trouble here, but they were the ones that I couldn't totally wrap my head around. Were the ones that were basically like Will Smith disempowered women by doing this. Like he didn't, he didn't set his wife up to have her voice heard, to give her wishes on the matter. He didn't.
Yeah.
He should have responded by using his speech to say something in response. And that might actually be true. Like a better response might have been to sort of verbally put Chris Rock in his place. Speak highly of his wife or whatever. That I think that's a defensible statement. But it was just the flood of hot takes that were basically like Will Smith is a troglodyte caveman, whatever. And I didn't see a lot of takes that were like Chris Rock was way out of line. But also like Chris Rock's always been way out of line.
Right.
I think that's probably the most confusing aspect in this is like Chris Rock has always been a comedian who aggressively makes fun of people in a way that if they heard it outside the realm of comedy, it would be very offensive. Inside the realm of comedy, not totally sure what to do with that. And
the realm of comedy in and of itself is a lot narrower
today
than it used to be.
So the takes were they were coming so hot and heavy. They were so nauseating. They were so like what I didn't see anybody
terrific.
Say, and maybe because nobody had the guts to just say it because it was sort of a progressive lean to things was, Will Smith maybe shouldn't have hit him, but I'm glad he did something. You know,
sure.
Like if somebody insults your wife publicly, I think it's appropriate to do something in her defense.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
And honestly, and the other piece that was on my mind was, if this had happened anywhere but the Oscars, so say it happens at an after party.
Yeah.
Chris Rock makes a joke about Jada Pinkett Smith and Will just smacks the, you know, hair off.
Squares up on him. Yeah, yeah.
People would probably, like, that wouldn't, you know, somebody gets cell phone footage of it. In that context, people are probably like, yeah, Chris deserved it. But well, because it happened in a tuxedo on a stage during a performance, everybody is like, how dare he? And I'm like, this feels incongruous to me.
Yeah, if it had happened at a party or at a, you know, at a bar or whatever, it would seem like less of a big deal. But so that raises an interesting question. The Oscars are maybe the only cultural event where the cameras and the viewer is looking at somebody, else. You know what I mean? So it's like,
right. So even watching is performative.
Yeah, that's right. So if you're in the quote unquote audience at the Oscars, there's a third audience watching you watch whoever's on stage doing whatever they're doing. So like your reaction has to be appropriate, quote unquote, which just seems like extremely stressful to me. Like I would not want to go to an event where it was 3 hours of somebody watching me watching something else.
I get stressed on my birthday when I have to respond appropriately to opening a present. Like,
yeah, that's true.
I can't imagine having to like sit there and appropriately respond if Chris Rock is making a joke about me or about my loved one or whatever.
Right. Yeah, it's kind of amazing that there isn't one of these every year where, you know, you can't really be funny anymore. So I'm surprised the host isn't saying something reprehensible every year. And people are making it about them. It's kind of crazy that it took us till 2022 for this to really happen in a big way. It's strange. All right, here's the question, boys. And Ronald, we'll start with you. We're going to do two rounds. What celebrity, and we'll go real celebrities first and then evangelical celebrities second. What celebrity would you slap? Like if you could march up onto a stage and slap any celebrity.
This is a no win answer, isn't it?
Who oh no, there slap? Are some right answers here, Ronnie. There are ones that everybody would applaud, I'm sure.
I didn't say right, Pipe. I said no win.
Yeah. So who would you slap? And I know you're a pacifist, baby. I know you're a lover, not a fighter. So
well,
you're a
that's
good
true.
Dude. You're
true.
One of the good ones. But just for the sake of having a good time with the question.
I'm not one of the good ones. I've felt like slapping a lot of people. That's not how
just
I
haven't.
That's yeah. not how I respond. I'm not a violent guy. You're not either, T. Gosh, man. I mean, you guys know that's a bad question for Big R. You know? trying to come up with a guy I would slap. I mean, if you ask me what my favorite ice cream is right now, I'm going to like struggle with that, much less a guy I would slap, you know?
I've actually got one loaded up, so maybe I'll get it started.
We'll do it. Lay it out there.
So when I was in college, my wife was like kind of involved in the theater program. And there was this guy in the theater program, and he was like our small college's like lead actor. He was the lead actor in everything. And in fact, like my friend group, we didn't even know his name, but we called him Actor Boy. And Actor Boy would like walk up to a girl and like give her the two kisses on the cheek like he was European. And I started dating.
That's right.
Yeah, I started dating KK like right at the end of our college career. And I saw this guy do this a couple of times where he would walk up to her and like give the two kisses on the cheek. And it annoyed me. Like, I wasn't very sophisticated back then. And I knew that he was from, like, Warsaw or Muncie. So it's not like he was from Paris. And so he was kind of, yeah.
Just to
he
be
was
clear,
kind of doing...
Warsaw, not in Europe.
Yeah,
Warsaw, middle Indiana. America. What is that, Indiana?
Yeah, so he was kind of doing this affected thing. And Benedict Cumberbatch reminds me of that guy in every way. So if I could slap any celebrity, it would be Benedict.
Benedict. I mean, Benedict feels... I mean, that makes sense to me, T. I'm with you on that. That's...
There's something about his face that annoys me. I feel like if we're ever hanging out together, he would be smug. I would slap Benedict Cumberbatch.
I'm pretty sure he's smug when you're not hanging out together, too.
Yeah, yeah. Wherever he is, whatever he's doing, he's being smug.
I mean, in terms of just a personality, this is going to be ironic, man. So in terms of a personality that I've never been drawn to in the way that they sort of put it out there from the, you know, given their celebrity status, actually is Will Smith.
Interesting.
He's a guy that when he talks, I cringe.
Interesting.
And he's always been like that. So it, to me, it's like, I like watching him in movies. But when he does that whole like laughing, you know, kind of halfway funny, you know, the way he approaches, you know, the answers he gives to everything that he does, the dude just, the dude is always like, again, it's Fresh Prince of Bel-Air and it drives me up the wall because I never thought that was funny. I never thought that show was funny. And, and it wasn't, it was a little, it was a little past my time. So there was something about that show, people saying, oh, did you watch Fresh, did you watch Fresh Prince? And I'm like, I would if I thought it was funny. I don't think it's funny. And so I think there's something combined with all that where it's like the irony of that is, Will has always had one of those personalities that just drives me up the wall. I've never, never aligned with it.
There you go. So maybe, maybe in a certain context, you're slapping Will Smith. I like
it. Ironically enough.
Yeah, ironically enough. I know.
And I'm probably not alone in that right now at all. You know, there's probably a lot of people that are saying they would slap Will Smith.
Probably.
Including Chris Rock.
True. Yeah, that's true.
I think Chris Rock is just sitting back and laying silent on this one because he right now he comes out looking like spit shined and polished despite the fact that he instigated the whole thing.
Dude, can we say a, like a quick thing about Chris Rock? Incredible chin. Like great set of whiskers on this guy. You know, like Will Smith comes up, gives him a nice firm slap. Chris Rock doesn't even flinch.
His reaction is incredible to me. The fact that he immediately starts laughing the minute he's hit. It's
that is incredible chin. He's like Rocky fighting Clubber Lang in Rocky.
It's like
III,
Rocky Eight, like, man. It is.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I also think the choice to slap and not punch is an interesting one because it's. It's like a violent action, but it's also sort of a, like, I challenge you more to a duel kind of thing, not a, like, I intend to lay you out kind of thing.
So it's more disrespectful, man. He didn't hit it. Yeah. You know, he slapped him.
It's also lower risk, because, like, if you punch and he bounces back, you are clearly the weak one. Whereas if you slap, it was a slap.
That's true.
And if you punch and he goes down, they're arresting you for assault.
That's right. You're going to jail.
In court for the rest of your life. Yeah, I mean, it's truly a no win, right? With the punch, but Piper, who are you slapping? What celebrity? Real celebrity.
Well, the first answer, and I don't even know if he's enough of a celebrity anymore to count. But there's two of them because they're the same guy in different suits. One is Piers Morgan, and the other is Ricky Gervais.
Piers Morgan.
And
Piers Morgan makes perfect sense to me. Man.
And I know
I've heard the name Piers Morgan. Who is Piers Morgan?
Is he for CNN or Fox? Him? I don't know. One of these major news networks. And he used to. And he's one of those, like, he's sort of an opinion columnist, but on TV. And so he interviews people, but he's just the most pompous blowhard. Not like shock jock, because that you can kind of shrug off and be like, whatever, that guy's an idiot. But he is so smug and so just absolutely and utterly bloviatingly pompous. And then Ricky Gervais is the same thing, just in comedy. But there's a persona I need you to help me attach to a celebrity, because I don't think either of those guys are quite like A-list enough to count.
Yeah.
And it is the like singer-songwriter white dude with a guitar trying to get girls. That is the persona I want to slap, but who is the celebrity who does this thing? Is it like Ed Sheeran? But that's a little on the nose. I don't know.
No. Ed Sheeran would be like, if you went to college with Ed Sheeran.
He's just not beautiful enough.
I know.
He's not beautiful enough, so he'd be a fun hang. Like, if you guys were at Wheaton together, he'd be fun.
And he's Irish, I think, which makes him also just a super fun hang, so...
He would, and he would pull, dude. He would pull like rope due to being Irish and at Wheaton. It would be unbelievable for him. I'm going to go with Adam Levine. Like, if Adam Levine was at Wheaton with you, you would hate him.
Yes.
You know what I mean? You would hate Adam Levine. He'd be up there at like every sort of open mic coffee house in the area. And you'd walk in and you'd just roll your eyes like that guy, you know? Is that more the energy you're going
yeah,
for?
That's spot on. It's perfect.
But I think anybody would feel that way about, if you don't feel that way about Adam Levine, then it's hard to
then you are the girl he's trying to get.
Then you are Adam Levine. Yeah.
Yeah.
You're Adam Levine or you're the girl he's trying to get. Here's the problem with Adam Levine.
Like, only one, huh?
Well, it's a multi-tiered problem. He's like 99th percentile handsome. He's always taking his shirt off.
I mean, he's handsome. There's nothing to say about that. Yeah.
And he's pretty good at music. Like, I'm not a music expert, but he's pretty good at it, right? Like, he could do the falsetto-y thing. Like, he's had a lot of, like, you know, a lot of big hits. He was in a music movie called Begin Again, and I actually liked him in it.
So he's a successful musician, yes.
Well, yeah, and he's super hot, and he's always taking his shirt off. There's a lot going on there with Adam Levine, and I think Pipe, if I could, you know, be your slapping coach, as it were, that's who I would coach you to slap.
I accept this coaching. It's a high standard. I don't know how I'm gonna get there, but yeah, it is the sort of coalescing of the whole vibe that I would like to slap.
There we go, boys. Let's take a break, and then we'll do evangelical celebs. All right, round two, fellas. Now we're going to do fake celebrities. So people kind of in our own realm who think they're celebrities, but they really aren't, which is a whole different kind of energy that's maybe as funny, if not more funny, than Adam Levine. So if we could march up on the hypothetical stage in a tuxedo and slap any of these fake celebrities, who would it be? Pipe, let's start with you.
Oh, man, I got to go first on this. So this is different because, like, when it's out in the realm of I don't know these people, it's a vibe I want to slap. Like, you're giving off this annoying vibe. When it's closer to home, it's more like you've actually offended my sense of, like, reality and truth. And that's a...
Yeah.
It's a much more loaded slap.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to go with a category here, and it might be disappointing. Yeah. I'm going to slap the people who didn't tell the famous guy not to say that. So
explain.
I want to slap the right-hand man of every famous pastor who publicly says offensive things.
Okay.
So
yeah, like he needs to have a team telling him not to say
somebody to be like, man, you cannot do that publicly. You can't post that. You can't say that. And the people who are like, well, that's just him being him. He's a prophet. No, that person needs to be slapped. Like, you step up and save him from himself. And also, I'm totally
not a great era for prophets right now.
Also, I'm totally copping out because what I really mean is I want to slap them for saying those things. But that feels risky.
Yeah, it does. This is a risky question because we've all got irons in the fire, and you know you can't offend anybody anymore. But I'm gonna lean into it some more. Big R, anybody come to mind that you're slapping?
In terms of our camp, our tribe.
Yeah, in terms of like fake evangelical celebrities, it could be our camp or it could be wider than our camp.
I mean, so many names come to mind that I. I'm not at liberty.
That I will not say out loud for various reasons.
Well, because then I'm basically being like them, you know, by saying the people
I mean,
that I
yeah,
struggle
but
with,
like, you know? And this is a somewhat serious question, I guess. So we're kind of like falling backward into a real discussion. There seems to be two categories of doing this, right? Like, one category is the person who goes on social media and is just like, I'm coming at this other person, guns a-blazing. And then there's the sort of like vague, so veiled, it's like multiple layers of veiled, but it's like the passive aggressive kind of subtweet where it's like, maybe you know who you're talking about, maybe you don't, but it's out there. Like, which thing is more noble? And maybe the answer is neither of them. But do you get what I'm asking? Is it more noble to say, I want to slap fill in the blank person's name? Or is it more noble to just sort of craft a thing that's about that person, but the person's name never gets said. You know what I'm saying?
Well, yeah, I know. It's almost like, hey, we all know what you're saying, so why are you being
Who you're talking about. Why aren't you saying
really what Ted is asking is, should I have answered the question or not? Like, should I have actually said the names as opposed to the names next to the names?
No, and I'm not adding you for that. It's just kind of a interesting conception.
Well, it's like, are we? Yeah, I mean, it's like, are we just subtweeting right now instead of just kind of like saying what we should be saying? And it's like, right. Yeah, because I still don't want to let everybody know my violent tendencies, you know, out there.
Yes,
that's right. Out there on full display, you know. So it's like, yeah, I think so. Maybe the deeper question, T, is,
yeah,
we all have these what Will Smith experienced, we all experience in terms of like,
sure,
somebody says something, we're triggered, it triggers mm-hmm. something in us that says, man, I want to take this person down. There's different ways of doing that. And sometimes, though, you know, you have those feelings of like, oh man, like this makes me so mad. I'm so riled up, man. It just hit this point of like almost like violence, internal violence inside of me that I shouldn't act out, and I'm probably not going to act out. But if I'm Will Smith, you know, I can make it all about myself. I can do something in the moment that's going to satisfy something that hasn't been unpacked, and it's going to get me a lot of attention, and there's a million other different things that would motivate me to do it, but I'm not Will Smith. So, I'm pulling back a little bit more. I'm thinking through this a little bit more and, you know, maybe using a little more wisdom because I'm not Will Smith, you know, I don't know, but I think,
Smith, and you're not yet in the kind of like grotesquely public spectacle that is the Oscars. The Oscars are disgusting.
Well, I mean, Hollywood celebrity. It's just, you have to use the word, it's FAUX. I mean, the whole thing is wrapped around that. You can't look at any of it and get a sense of genuineness from any of it. You know, it's, I mean, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, it really is.
If you want to go down that road, there's nothing that lacks more genuineness and authenticity than Hollywood celebrity. I mean, the whole thing just feels insane to me, right?
But we get close, right? Like, we are sort of dabbling in that in our evangelical fame culture. Like we're kind of looking at what Hollywood does and we're going, there's maybe like 55% of that that I like.
Well, I was
so
going to say
kind of dabble in it.
The one that comes a close second to that is pastoral ministry.
Is what I was gonna say. How so? Like keep going on that. That's
interesting. Well, because there's a disingenuousness to it that I think when it's at its worst, there's something that pervades. There's something that pervades, you know, pastoral ministry in the sense that when you get to a certain tier of it, you're not really finding out actually everybody's, you know, true thoughts, and you're not really seeing their vulnerabilities that much. You're not really seeing what's really going on and what they struggle with because it's persona driven.
Yeah,
because
it's playing a part that you're expected to play in terms of like, you know. You have to have a thought and a take on everything. You have to be of a certain outward moral standard. You know, you have to be, it even extends to like in certain camps, you have to look a certain way. You know, there's a certain sort of vibe you need to give off in terms of your attire and your fitness and your hairstyle. And that differs from camp to camp. So there's a striking similarity.
Well, yeah.
When it's at its worst, like Ronnie said.
That second part that you just said, there's a particular kind of like morality that always needs to be on display. And, you know, we would say for good reason in some way, shape or form. But at the same time, it lacks a particular kind of authenticity. It just does, you know, and it's like, because here's the thing, because, you know, Will Smith's going to make another movie. Right, like he slapped Chris Rock. That dude probably already has like nine scripts on
him. On how he's already ended his career with that slap.
Yeah, and he hasn't, and he hasn't, and yet,
If
your dad goes up and slaps D.A. Carson at TGC, he's done. He literally is done. You know what I mean? And so,
dude,
like,
let's do a second on that.
It's strange.
Sorry, my mind sort of shorted out for a second picturing that.
Yeah, I know you're visualizing. I just created a visual for you, Pipe. You loved that, didn't you?
Dude, a rumble at TGC. That would be an incredible way
for
them to go out.
Can you imagine somebody walking up onto the stick? Can you
like
imagine
the Jets and the Sharks?
Can you imagine Carson walking on stage and slapping Matt Chandler?
It's like that. It's like that scene in The Outsiders, right? So like, there's a rumble at TGC. Piper's dad goes up on stage to fight D.A. Carson, and you're in the audience, Pipe. Like, what are you doing with that? How are you handling
it? I'm grabbing the first ESV study Bible I can get my hands on, and I'm charging up there to just take swings at anybody to
get
my dad.
It's like a 20-pound blunt object.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's like Royal Rumble in you know, the WWF, where somebody comes out with the chair. Yeah. I'm coming up with the study Bible, just waylaying Carson. That's what I'm doing.
Oh, I love it, dude. I love it. That's the only right answer. You got to have your dad's back in that situation.
And I appreciate, you know, Pipe just being honest about how he feels about Carson. I mean, that's sweet.
No, you're trying to generate controversy now.
That's sweet.
I love it.
Man, I'm just picturing like, yeah, tweed jackets flying everywhere.
Tweed jackets flying, like shocks of gray hair.
People with $11 pencils stabbing each other.
Can we just be honest, though, for 1 second? So let's just bring it back. Let's bring it back to our trot. So here we are. We're at the last word. We're at the final T4G. You got like Dever up there, and he says something slightly controversial. And then, you know, you get one of the other plenary guys just literally that walks up and literally slaps him. I mean, what on earth would happen after that?
Oh,
like, would he be escorted out? Like, would they think
like 4,000 phones would come out of pockets to start tweeting about it?
I mean, 100, man. I mean, like, what would happen?
The Make It About Them All-Stars would be in the room, you know?
Like, well, all of them are there, actually. Yeah, every single one is already in the room.
Exactly.
It would break the 5G signal.
The slap heard around, you know, the SBC or whatever. I mean, it would just be insane, you know?
Well, dude, and then 9 minutes later, the progressive crowd coming out of the woodwork to just slaughter... That crowd would be that would break the internet again.
It would either you'd have all the Dever supporters, and then you'd have all the people that said no, he deserved.
See, John Wayne, this is what I was talking about.
Oh yeah, and somebody would be like, see, when you believe in substitutionary atonement, this is what it comes to. It's an inherently violent theology.
Exactly.
Oh, somebody else would attach it to complementarianism, even though it was all men wailing on men. Yeah,
it was all white men wailing on white men, literally. That should be a progressive's dream, I would think. You know, besides just like, I don't know, someone throwing a match into the room and locking all the doors.
So, but here's a business idea we've never come up with before. You know, we've come up with clothing lines and cruises and all sorts of things.
And we're all rich as a result.
Yeah,
it's been
filthy
amazing.
Rich for all of these ideas that we've never done anything with. Why has nobody in the gaming industry come up with like an evangelical Royal Rumble game? Like, people come up to me like, what does your dad think about NT Wright? You know, if we had a video game, we could solve this problem. Put him in a ring. You know, pick your weapon.
Like the old 90s video game Mortal Kombat. But instead of choosing like the characters that were on that game, you get to choose like John Piper or NT Wright or Dak or... any number of celebrities. Okay, so here's the thing. Real talk. I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that we have like computer programmers who listen to the program. This program is global, and that is a little flex. Okay, I'm not hiding that at all. We have listeners around the world in various industries. If you are a programmer and you're listening this morning and you want to make a copy of Evangelical Mortal Kombat for us, I would be in your debt for the rest of my life. There it is. I said my piece. I think
I
want to
see
incredible.
It happen.
So if anybody out there wants Ted to be in their debt for all eternity,
I'm in a lot of people's
construct
debt
this game
already. Let's be honest.
You know how in those games everybody has like their finishing move?
Yes.
You know, like my dad's would be like the arm chop where he throws his arms out to the side and it like beheads the opponent. Dak would be like spinning his spectacles. And wailing on people, it would be there's just amazing opportunities here for a creative game designer.
This has been one of the better episodes we've ever done. I think I've really enjoyed it. It's been a nice time.
It's been a sweet time, boys.
Tell us about Visual Theology.
Yeah, listeners, Visual Theology is our longstanding partner. The guy who runs it, Josh, is also the guy who designed our website, thehappyrant.com. He's designed all of our gear, which you can find there. He's a great friend of the program. But his first ministry his first website that he really puts himself into is Visual Theology. You go to visualtheology.church. Awesome resources for Sunday school teachers, for people looking to just study the word better, for if you teach at a Christian school. You just go look through it. There are posters, there are Bible study books, and it's just this amazing connection between a visualization of what you find in scripture, what you find in theology, and then the teaching text to help people kind of connect ideas. So go look at it. Since it's visual, it's a lot better for your eyes than my description. But again, visualtheology.church. And if you use the code HAPPYRANT at checkout, there's a pretty significant discount for you. So be sure to check them out. It's just an ongoing partnership between us and them. So you'll hear about them in the future as well. We just want you to be aware and to check them out and to roll their resources into your teaching, to your personal study, your family devotions, whatever it is.
Love it. Boys, we've done what we always do on this program, which is wandering to and fro throughout the Oscars and designing an evangelical Mortal Kombat video game, which I really hope to see come to fruition. And until next time.
We want to take a moment to thank the team at Life Audio for partnering with us on this podcast. Be sure to go to lifeaudio.com and take a look at the other podcasts in their network. They've got shows about prayer, Bible study, parenting, and more.
Once in a generation, a podcast comes along with the power and eloquence to inspire us all.
This show will entertain you while you wait for that one. Join two best friends, author and former history teacher John Driver and comedian Johnny W. for hilarious and authentic conversations about life, history, culture, faith, and everything in between.
You can listen to Talk About That wherever you find your podcasts or at lifeaudio.com.